You're listening to The Crossover with Joe R. Lucas.
Welcome back, and I'm proud to say to the newly nominated Best Basketball Podcast, The Crossover with Joe R. Lucas. And today, as usual, I have another special guest, this time one of our first Canadian players to join our podcast. But you'd have no idea when you see him in person or hear his name. You'd automatically think that this guy has to be from Lithuania, right? That's right, folks. With me today is a 6'7", versatile forward from Žalgiris Kaunas that can score from anywhere on the floor. Please welcome Ignas Brazdeikis to The Crossover. We're just going to call you Iggy right off the bat. Is that cool? I love it.
Yeah, that sounds good. That's what I'm used to.
Who gave you that name?
You know what? It was just growing up from the beginning, all my friends just called me Iggy because they couldn't pronounce Ignas, which isn't even a hard name to pronounce.
What about Brazdeikis? What did they call you there? Is Brazzy or something like that? Or
nah, they didn't even try to pronounce that name.
They didn't even try that one.
They didn't even try.
I'm assuming you're pretty good after last night. As I mentioned to you before we started, I really don't talk about games that you've already played or games coming up. This is more of an evergreen type podcast that we like to have around for a long time. But we think it's relative. 22 points, 5 rebounds, and a huge. I mean, forget your stats, but a huge win over Monaco to keep yourselves in that fight for the playoff and obviously a Final Four shot in your home court. How's it feel?
Man, it felt great last night. I said it before on other podcasts and whatnot, that Žalgirio Arena
Whoa. We don't talk about other podcasts on this one.
My bad. This is the only one. Žalgirio Arena, I feel like, is one of the toughest places to play for opponents. And the passion that the fans have in Lithuanian basketball in general is the biggest thing here. So, it was a great game, great atmosphere. I felt like, the team really needed to get this done, and we came out and executed the game plan, and just grateful we won that game.
Man, from what I saw, you guys just controlled the game from beginning to end. I mean, I was doing the Madrid game last night with Fenerbahce, but I was kind of keeping an eye on you guys just because of this interview that I had going on today, and it was just a total control and dominance from beginning to the end.
Yeah, we were just extremely focused. We knew we needed this one. It's damn near do or die for us at this point. So
right.
Every single game matters, and we were just trying to, get in there.
Just to let our fans know that are listening, they're going to be listening to this a little bit later. This is the first round of the double week. They played Monaco. Žalgiris played Monaco last night, and Iggy dropped 22, 5 rebounds, and they won a big game in double week to keep themselves alive in the playoffs. I want to ask you one question. As I was looking at the stats today, 22 points, 5 rebounds, 5 for 13 from 2, 4 for 5 from 3, which is badass right there. But as a player, let me ask you, as I'm looking at the stats, you have this valoration thing of 17, this PIR, which, sometimes I believe and sometimes I don't. But can you explain, with a game like that, you have a plus minus of minus 6? What does that mean?
Man, you know what? I didn't even know that. That's quite interesting to hear. I don't know. I guess I don't put too much emphasis on plus minus. I feel like it doesn't really tell the whole game.
Right.
It's kind of tough to hear, though. I definitely always want to be in the plus, but.
But does that has to do with, like, the time that you're on the floor or the score was. It makes no sense to me, but. I don't blame you for not putting much attention to it. Bottom line is a W, right?
Yeah, but I mean, I guess I didn't do enough on the court while I was on it.
All right, hey, let's move on with the real part of the interview. You were born in Kaunas, right?
Yes, sir.
But didn't spend much time there at all, right? Do you remember anything about Kaunas when you started living in Canada?
I mean, not too much because, like you said, we left when I was 3 years old. So, really the only thing that I remember is my family and just being able to see them, which was nice. But other than that, it was kind of a blur.
You had an aunt, right, that played ball also. She's a Lithuanian national player?
Yeah, but I've never met her before, never talked to her.
Come on, are you serious?
Yeah. So I'm pretty sure if she's not my aunt, I'm pretty sure she's my dad's cousin or something like that.
Okay.
So it's kind of distant relative.
It's one of those related to the cousin who's related to a cousin who's got a friend that's related to another friend.
Pretty much. I kind of just found out when I was older and I was like, that's interesting.
But I mean, that's good though, because you got no one to call you up when you get that minus six and the valoration thing and talk to you about. North America is, you guys went from Kaunas and I mean, obviously, what do you remember first, Winnipeg?
No, Chicago. I have some memories of Chicago.
Okay.
We moved to Chicago and lived there for a few years. And then, yeah, we moved to Winnipeg, which was the coldest place on earth, probably. And that's where my little brother was born. And then we moved to Etobicoke, Ontario, which is right beside Toronto. And
right.
then we moved to a suburb. Quite a few years later.
So Winnipeg is colder than Toronto?
By far.
You can't really
compare them. Yeah, it's really cold over there. I think my sister got frostbite over there.
Really? I can't complain that much then. I'm from right across the lake from Toronto. I'm from Rochester, New York. So, I mean, we know what cold is, that's for sure. And what was Chicago? I mean, Chicago, first of all, what was the reason of all these moves, your family?
My parents, they just really wanted us to have a better life. Whatever they can do to support us, they felt like there'd be more opportunities, for myself and my siblings. You know, it definitely wasn't always easy, but, those sacrifices, I feel like allowed us to, you know, put us in a position to succeed.
It's interesting though, because you don't look like you're 24. You don't play like you're 24. You know, you look way more experienced than that, but I mean, it's only been 21 years. Your parents moved you over there. Pretty much, like you said, 3 years, 21 years ago, looking for opportunities. When at 21 years ago, Lithuania was an open country at that point. It wasn't under a communist regime or nothing like that, but they still went looking for something different.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't really have too much going for us in Lithuania at the time. And I know my mom, she definitely wanted to see something else. And they just kind of wanted a fresh start, just a new beginning, just to, you know, see a different place in the world.
And they still live there.
Yeah, they're happy in Canada. Very happy.
Good for them. That's just a great story, you know, to head over there and make it. That's cool. Hey, how big of an influence is your dad and has he been on your career?
Yeah, big time. I think, you know, it's definitely both my mom and my pops, because I've just seen them work their entire lives for everything. So just seeing them work day in, day out kind of gave me that work ethic mentality, where, you know, if they were able to, you know, go through everything that they did and put in all the work that they did, I kind of, you know, wanted to follow suit. And you know, they definitely have a big influence on my career, and you know, I'm grateful for them.
Was your dad big into basketball? Or I mean, because, you know, I don't know if you know this, I'm sure you do probably more than most people do, but I know it because I'm from that area. There's such a big Lithuanian upbringing in Canada.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys actually have Lithuanian, like, groups of like, you know, where y'all hang out in Lithuanian groups, kind of like they do here in Spain. You know, you got the Colombian group, the whatever group. But all those guys can ball. I mean, I played against Leo Routens for years, you know, when he was in Syracuse. I don't know if you know Leo or remember him. But...
I do know him. I'm close friends with his son, actually.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah, I mean, but there's so many great basketball players that are Lithuanian that came from Canada. Was that part of the reason why your parents went to Canada, because of the Lithuanian heritage there?
No, I mean, my dad hated basketball. He he didn't like it. He thought basketball players were soft and kind of he's kind of his sport was like fighting, like mixed martial arts kind of. So
oh well, yeah, of course we're soft. So, I mean, come on.
So for him, I don't think basketball had nothing to do with the movement.
But what about like the fact that there was some comfort zone and the fact that there's Lithuanian people in that northern area, Chicago,
yeah,
Ontario. I mean, there's got to be like that homegrown feeling a little bit. Not so much for you as a kid, but for your parents as older adults trying to bring you guys up.
Yeah, they knew some people already moving to those places that were from Lithuania, so they had some people to be in contact with to help with the move and to stay at places. So they definitely did find comfort for sure, just knowing that there is a group of Lithuanians there and that support.
And what do they do now? What You said they're hard workers. What do they do?
My dad's construction, and my mom, she was, working day to day, whatever she could do. So she doesn't work anymore, thankfully. She kind of relaxed a little bit, but my dad does construction.
Well, congratulations to them, man. That's great. That's good news. Now, how do you get from Canadian high school playing basketball to playing under John Bailey at Michigan? You know, there's not that many Canadian players that make it to a big-time college. You know, most of them are going over to smaller colleges. You know, I was at Niagara University, which is right across, and we had a bunch of Canadian players, and that was kind of like what it used to be back in the day.
Yeah, I went to a great prep school program north of Toronto called Orangeville Prep. A lot of great players came out of there. Lou Gensdorf, Jamal Murray, O'Shea Brissett, bunch of other guys. So they kind of had that name where college coaches would come and visit. And Michigan is only 4-hour drive away from Toronto. So they came and visited me, and it didn't actually work out well at first. They saw me practice and they stopped talking to me for a long time because I had a bad practice.
That always feels good, doesn't it?
Yeah, no, that was tough. That was tough. And then I had a great AAU season, so the connection started to build again.
How much contact did you have with Kyle Alexander, who's now down in Valencia?
So, yeah, he went to Orangeville Prep as well. I talked to him here and there. We messaged each other.
I played with Kyle's dad at Niagara. He's one of those Canadians I was talking about.
Okay, nice.
And yeah, so we have that connection. We have that old school connection, yeah. You know? Every night. Hey, Kyle's dad could leap out of the gym. He's one of the best players I've ever seen. It was kind of amazing playing with him. But tell me about Michigan, man, because basketball in Canada is not a huge thing, obviously. There's a lot of other sports that people play, but going from a country of Canada, driving, like you said, 4 hours to Michigan. I mean, Michigan's a serious school, man. That's one of the biggest schools in the country. And between the football program and the basketball program they have there, man, it must have been like just eye-opening to you. It's a whole new world, isn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was probably one of the best experiences in my life. Great school academically. Not that that was my biggest focus, but the basketball.
So I'm assuming that was a nice way of saying you weren't the best student.
Wasn't the best student. Still got my work done as best as I could. And
were you like me that just like hung out of that 2.0 area just so you could keep playing?
I can't even remember, so that should say enough. But no, Michigan was just such a great program, such a high level everywhere you go, from the football program to the basketball program. From the weight room to the basketball courts, facilities, everything was just top notch. So it was definitely eye opening for me. I embraced it fully.
What was it like going to watch that first Wolverines football game on Saturday morning at 12:30?
Crazy. 100,000 people in one area. I've never seen anything like that.
What's it compared to a EuroLeague game? I mean, a EuroLeague game, there's not 100,000 people, but they're pretty close in when you go to Partizan, when you go to Tel Aviv.
Comparing them? Yeah, I would say that. If the EuroLeague stands had the capacity of 100,000 people, it wouldn't go well, especially in a place like Partizan.
They do quite well with 20,000, though. Yeah, I'll tell you what.
It's enough.
But the thing about the whole college thing and the football, the American football thing, is the tailgating before the game, all the hanging out. But you guys had basketball season and football season together, so you really couldn't, get out there and like hang out with all your people, right? Before
we found a way here and there.
That's right. I forgot you weren't too concerned about the studies, right?
Yeah.
What about playing in the in March Madness, man? Are you watching now? Are you gonna be watching the Final Four this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen the time, so depending on the time zone, but I've been keeping up with it. My bracket was completely busted.
I mean, everybody's was busted this year, man. It was impossible.
Impossible.
Nobody predicted that, but it's the only games that I really watch because, like you said, because of the time difference. But man, it's unbelievable to watch those games and. They just, to me, don't they take long at the end? It's like the last 5 minutes seem to take forever.
Yeah, but that's when all those special moments happen. I don't know what it is about March Madness, but like the amount of buzzer beaters and game winners that happen in those games, it doesn't even make sense. There's something in the air with March Madness.
It's so crazy, man. So you go from moving from Lithuania to Canada, and from there you go to high school, you go to Michigan, and now all of a sudden you're going to the NBA. What the? I mean, this isn't. I can't imagine this is something. And plus, like you say, you're a father that thinks basketball players are soft and doesn't even like basketball. But this was this a dream? I mean, when was it something that you thought about from the first time you picked up a ball?
Yeah, no, I fell in love with the game at probably like 6, 7 years old. Outside of our apartment, there was an outdoor basketball court, and I would just spend hours there a day just playing, and there'd be older guys there. And then once my pop saw that I had a passion for the game, he put me in this Lithuanian church team, and kind of everything grew from there.
All right, you're making my point even better. So you went from a Lithuanian church team in Canada to the NBA.
Yeah, no, it's unbelievable. Everything felt like it happened really fast. It was even tough to kind of absorb everything and kind of, you know, slow things down. Everything was happening so fast. So I tried to embrace every moment of it. But, you know, it definitely wasn't an easy time for me in the NBA as well.
Right. And let's get in that. You were 47th pick overall in 2000. I'm telling you, it's just crazy when I look at all these numbers and these dates. And 2019 was 3.5 years ago for Essex. It was, you know, right before COVID. You got picked by the team that drafted me that I played for a little while, the Kings. But then you never made it there. You went straight to New York. You went West Coast, East Coast without even making a stop, right?
Exactly.
And talk to me about it. Let's go through the NBA thing quick. I mean, I know I saw doing my research that it seems like you take everything as a positive experience, no matter what happens, no matter if it's a negative thing. I always talk about this on just about every podcast with players, that you realize the dream of being drafted is a great one until you get there. Then the dream, you didn't dream about the rest of it. You know what I mean? It was like my dream was to be in the NBA, but I didn't know it was going to be this difficult. What was that like for you, and how did that mold who you are today and the type of player you are?
It was definitely difficult for me. You know, New York is one of the biggest franchises in the NBA, and, you know, they have a lot of expectations. And the year that I came there, they had playoff expectations, so they weren't really trying to help out rookies, you know, especially being a second-round pick. So I really didn't get much of an opportunity. And you know, even during training camp, I remember not even getting into scrimmage games. So just kind of being on the sideline and everything, it was kind of confusing a little bit, because I went from, you know, being a great player at Michigan to being the bottom of the team, you know, not getting an opportunity or anything. So, and then...
What's that we say, the big fish in a little pond, to becoming a little fish in a big pond, man?
Yes, exactly. So it was definitely very interesting. And then, you know, I had to find a role at the time, and I didn't really know what it was. So, you know, I got sent down to the G League. Second year was only better at the end of the year, because Orlando picked me up and I got an opportunity to play. And then my third year in the NBA was starting to be better as well, where I got more of an opportunity. So that time was definitely more fun for me. But the beginning was definitely a struggle, and I just used it as a motivation to not let that happen again.
It's funny you say that you went to the Knicks, who's one of the biggest franchises in history, and they have all these expectations. I still can't understand. I'm from New York, obviously, you know that. I can't understand where their expectations come from. You know, it's kind of like the Dallas Cowboys of the NFL. Like, they haven't made the playoffs, haven't won a championship in like 30 years,
right?
And they still have all these expectations. It's kind of funny to me, you know, when you say that.
I guess it's just diehard fans. I don't know. They just want to win.
Yeah. I mean, it's Madison Square Garden. It's the mecca of basketball in the States, you know. Plus, you know, you got Rucker Park and everything that's just all around New York City, and it's just basketball-wise, it's amazing.
It is.
But you have some big games in summer leagues. You have some nice games in G leagues and everything, but you just didn't get that. You just never grabbed that opportunity. In Orlando, it seemed like you fit into the team a little bit better, from what I read. But again, it's just so hard to break in sometimes, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, Orlando fit better because it was a younger team. But I felt like they already had, you know, guys who are young in my position as well that they've invested more into. And, you know, just cracking into that rotation and getting there, it takes a lot. So, I'm grateful for them and just even allowing me to, you know, get some good minutes and get some good games in. So just getting that experience, and just once I got those few games where I played well, I knew that I could, you know, play at that level.
What's it like? I was reading you were traded to Philadelphia. You played one game.
Yeah.
And then you were waived. This is what I kind of like, you know, because I went through the same thing when I was at Sacramento. I went, you know, up until that December 15th cut date, the guaranteed contract cut date. They didn't keep me. They got rid of me. They wanted to bring me back. And I ended up coming to Europe. But let listeners know, like, what it's like to mentally go through that process, because it does beat you down emotionally. I mean, no matter what you do, no matter how strong you are, no matter how much confidence you have, that stuff starts to affect you mentally and emotionally, doesn't it?
No, for sure. I mean, at that point in Philadelphia, that was the first time I got cut from a team in my whole life. And I was just
right.
I was kind of sitting back like, you know, like, what the hell just happened? And it happened quick. And, you know, I didn't even know where to go afterwards, because it was the end of the season and my agents were like, you should stay in the States because, you know, there might be another opportunity. So I'm just, you know, in a hotel, just, you know, waiting for an opportunity to arise. So it was definitely difficult. Makes you question, you know, if you're a good basketball player.
Yeah. I mean, that's when you start questioning that, it's your work ethic that has to come out of you to kind of get you through that, but it's gotta be a tough time. Who is your boy in Orlando? I can't remember his name right now. I didn't write it down, unfortunately. Who is your guy in Orlando that hung out? He said, the first thing I had to tell you about Iggy, he's not a white guy.
Oh. That's hilarious. I was close with the whole team for the most part. So it's hard to pick out one person. I was close with a few of those guys. They're good people.
It seemed like they accepted you pretty well. And that's half the battle, to be accepted by people.
Yeah, no, it was a great time. I had a great time in Orlando.
And now, as you're going through this, you have a Lithuanian passport, right? But did you have to give that up to go to Canada?
Yes, I did.
Okay, so but in the back of your mind, even though you're going through this, you know that plan B is always there for you, right? I mean, you know, you could probably always go back to Lithuania or maybe somewhere else and play in Europe. Is that a motivating factor, or is that like something that you're like, that's not what I want? I want to try to make it here in the NBA.
I mean, I definitely want to play amongst the best players in the world. So, you know, the NBA is always where I wanted to play. But, you know, I knew that the EuroLeague is, you know, almost not even a step behind the NBA. So, I knew that, you know, being able to play here, I'd be competing amongst the best players in the world. And at this point in my career, I just wanted an opportunity just to have a consistent role somewhere, just to be a part of the rotation.
You had 64 NBA games pretty much under your belt. You averaged about, I mean, I was looking at almost 21 points a game in the G League when you played there. And when you compare the time that you're spending now, we'll get into this a little bit more, the NBA, playing the NBA to EuroLeague. I mean, it was like you said, you may be playing against the best athletes in the world over there, but on a night-to-night basis, there's nothing like this league, is there?
It's
crazy.
It's not even close. The competitive level of the EuroLeague is maybe the highest out of any league in the world, because, you know, 34 games and to get into the playoffs, there's only 8 teams. It's a battle every single night.
What's it like to prepare for like, you know, I mean, now you guys got the double week coming up we just talked about, but to prepare for those games and know that you have to be on your best. And, you know, in the NBA, obviously, you know, I mean, there's a big deal this week about Joel Embiid taking the night off against Denver, against Jokic. It's like, why would he take that night off? You know, he's in the MVP race.
Yeah.
For me, right off the bat, you're not the MVP if you don't play in the most important game of the year, you know. But again, you get to take nights off in the NBA. You can't take a minute off here.
No, not at all. And just the preparation, the scouting, the practices are no joke. Like each and every single day, it's not, you know, practices are taken 100% serious. Like there's no messing around. You know, even if we're just shooting. The coaches say we need your 100%, even in just shooting. So it's like, it's a different mentality over here.
Is it better for you? Is it I mean, is it more comfortable? Is it something that you've had to get used to? Because it is kind of like you have someone watching over you the whole time.
Yeah, it's something I had to get used to, but I knew that deep down, this is kind of what I like because I'm a workhorse. So, you know, my goal is to outwork everybody. And, you know, just being in an environment where everybody else is working as hard as they can, it kind of pushes you to become a better player and a better person.
Yeah, one of my favorite questions when I hear that, because I remember doing an interview with Spanoulis a couple of years ago, and everybody talks about the fact that he works harder than everybody. And I asked him, like, what does it mean to work harder than everybody else to be the best? I mean, what to you, what's that mean? I mean, how much is, no matter, I always say no matter how much money you have, someone already has more.
Yeah.
You know, no matter how much you put into it, someone else is putting into more, because a lot of it has to do with luck also, being in the right place. But to you, what is putting in the time?
For me, it's just willing to sacrifice everything to be the best. That's what it is to me. Like I literally, you know, I'll cut anything off in my life. If it's not benefiting me for basketball. So, you know, taking the body extremely seriously, the mind, the skill work. So just giving it my absolute everything.
Again, you don't sound like a 24-year-old. Hey, I would tell you when I was 35, if I had that mentality when I was 24, I probably would have stuck around about 6 more years. Yeah. It's hard to have that mentality because, you know, when you guys get to the point where you become stars and you start making this money, it's a lot easier to relax, isn't it? And to take like a back seat and just say, all right, well, I'm here. I got a 2-year contract. Let me take off for a little bit. About 6 months before the contract's up, I'll start balling again.
Yeah, I don't know, because I don't know if I'm a star just yet. So I feel like I'm still working to that and working to become, you know, who I can be. So there's definitely no relaxing going on here.
Well, as long as you keep up that attitude that you don't think you're a star yet, that'll make you always keep getting to the gym and working a little bit extra hard.
I appreciate
that. How much of your Lithuanian roots did you have while you were in Canada? Like, were you coming back to Lithuania during summer times, you know, when your parents had off, or was there not much contact at all?
Not much. I mean, I think we went back a total of 2 times before coming back here. It's a lot, you know, for the whole family to come over and just, you know, it was 5 of us. So it's a difficult and long trip. And, you know, my parents didn't really have too much time off.
What do your brothers and sisters do?
My brother's 18. He's a basketball player too right now.
Is he?
Yeah, he's in his senior year of high school. He just got selected to the BioSteel All-Canadian game, so proud of him for that.
Nice.
And then my sister is finishing her master's degree in Sweden right now. She's a year older than me.
Oh, she's in Sweden. Okay. Do you get to see her often?
Yeah, she's coming to visit me actually in a few days.
Oh, nice. Nice. That's good. Hey, no, not during double week, though.
Yeah, no. None of that.
So in all reality, now you make this move to Europe, but you really, I heard that you were pursued by Baskonia also before you signed with Lithuania.
Mm-hmm.
But you went to Lithuania. Did it have something to do with the fact that you're from there? Was it an easier transition for you? Because obviously you don't have that much contact with it. What was the reason for going to Žalgiris?
So I played in the...
Oh, you know what? I forgot one. Do you speak Lithuanian?
I do, yeah.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Okay.
It got better over the year as well, so I'm pretty happy with it.
So your parents spoke Lithuanian with you as you were growing up?
Yeah, they did. But they never really kind of forced us to speak Lithuanian, so... you know, I definitely wasn't great coming into this year, but now it definitely picked up.
All right, good. All right. So, but now coming back, again, I'll go back to that question. Why Kaunas?
First of all, I knew Kazis because I played with the national team in the window. And
right.
And I liked how he coached and I liked how he approached the game. And then just being from Kaunas and being born here, I felt like it would be a great opportunity to just, you know, play for this city and try to, you know, do something special over here. And, you know, I just felt like it would be the environment where I could grow the most.
Coach is a little bit underestimated for his craziness sometimes, man. He gets fired up, man.
He does.
We always talk about, you know, Selko Obradovic, Jasikevicius, and all these guys that, you know, scream and yell at the sideline. But in a couple of games I've done with you guys, it's like, man, he can go at it. He's right up there.
Yeah, I mean, he's extremely passionate about the game. He just, you can see it in his eyes. He just wants to win, and he's not scared to, you know, let people know if they're not doing the right thing to get the win.
How's that for, I mean, it seems like you guys have a great nucleus of a team, which it's like, you know, I always talk about Olympiacos over the years. I always call them like warriors, you know, they're always a team that's just going to fight. And it just seems like Zalgiris has always been that close knit family team where the locker room's like even more important than it is on the floor. And it seems like you guys have the same thing there this year, even though you're all a bunch of new players.
Yeah, the locker room is great. I love spending time there. I love my teammates. Everybody's, you know, close, I would say. A lot of us leading the team, kind of setting the example, and then everybody just kind of following. It's a fun locker room to be in. I'm enjoying this year for sure.
You know, we do this thing. One of my questions is coming up, but I got to talk about Kavarius Hayes. On the TV thing, we have a thing where, I'm sure you remember this, where you guys have to go in the media day in the preseason and do the, you know, put your names up, you know, on a piece of paper and say Ignis Brazdeikis, you know, and you were funny. You're like, you can call me Iggy. You know, I don't know if you guys even remember that, but Kavarius Hayes, he did his, and he looked so uncomfortable, man. He's like, Kavarius Hayes, nice to meet you.
No, he's hilarious. Kavarius is hilarious.
When you guys played in Madrid last week, a couple of weeks ago, I had to go up and talk. I said, Kavarius, man, I said, that was one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life. I just want to go out and have a drink with you some night.
He's definitely the funniest guy on the team, in my opinion. He's just good energy all the time. Good energy every single day. And he brings some humor to the locker room for sure.
I'll tell you, man, he had that piece of paper and he looked so uncomfortable. And after he said his name, he's like, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
You can mess with him tonight at practice about that.
I will. I'm gonna talk to him.
So who's the guy? Like, let's say you went back to Canada, you went back to Ontario, you went back to, you know, Michigan to hang out at the old school for a while. Who's the guy from the team you're taking with you for a long weekend?
Kavarius is up there, and you know what? I think Isaiah Taylor as well. I became pretty close with him too. He's a great guy. Great guy. Great addition really? To the team.
And like you said, the atmosphere within the team is so close. I mean, what do you guys like hang out a lot together, like after games, or is it like everybody kind of goes their separate way? You got business on the table.
No, I mean, it depends. There's a lot of players on the team with families and whatnot, so they got responsibilities. But kind of the younger guys, or you know, we kind of hang out more. But then even a lot of us always make sure to have team events, you know, whenever we can make it, whether it's dinner or just kind of going out. So we definitely make the effort to see each other outside of the court.
I mean, there's not many places to go in Kaunas, man. You guys are going to be seeing wherever you go. So you kind of got to be careful, I imagine.
Yes. And they definitely, Lithuanians, I think, care about, you know, seeing where the athletes go. So, like you said, we definitely got to be careful.
Coming back to Kaunas and being here for this season, do you feel at home? Even though it wasn't at home, I mean, do you feel like the people accepted you as a Lithuanian player, as a Lithuanian citizen?
I think so. At first, it was definitely an adjustment, you know, new place to live, but I definitely feel like they accepted me. And then on top of that, I get to see my grandparents now. I get to see my aunts and uncles. So just having, you know, them around and kind of building a relationship with them is special for me.
And man, and what you told me before we started this interview is, you're actually living in my boy's apartment, right?
Yeah.
Sabonis' apartment.
Yeah.
Savas and I played together for 3 years. Have you ever seen him play? Have you ever seen any videos?
Oh, yeah. Highlights. I've seen highlights.
Like, the dude was amazing, man. The dude was just out of this world. I hated him, man, when I played against him for a couple years. I'm like, man, he's just a big, you know, big, slow, you know, whatever. And then him and I signed together. I mean, he was already here in Madrid when I signed for Real Madrid. Uh-huh. And on a daily basis, practice with him, man, it was just like, this dude can play, man. It was just like his court vision, his ability to see things that no one else seen is crazy. I mean, and are you close with any of his family?
Yeah, I mean, Tothvidas, who's our assistant coach, lives right next to me. So, I get to bother him a lot after practices and games, which is fun for me. And, you know, like you said about Avdadas, like he's just a massive human being. Like I saw him the other day, like he's just, you know, it almost doesn't make sense.
When everybody like comes up to me like, damn, like, you're so tall. You're in Spain. There's not that many tall people. So, like, you're so tall. I always show them a picture of me and Salvas, and we were in London together at an event. And everybody looks and they look at him and they think it's me with like some little guy. and then it's like usually about 6 seconds later, like, who's that?
Yeah.
I'm like, that's one of the biggest people I've ever seen in my entire life. How do you get to this apartment? That's the question. I mean, how do you end up in Lithuania and get the Savas's apartment?
It's my agent, who's Lithuanian as well. And then the manager of the team kind of showed me apartments available. And you know, this one was available. And I took it as soon as I saw it.
So it must be a nice one, right?
I like living here for sure.
And you live there on your own or what?
Yeah. My girlfriend comes to visit me a couple months at a time.
Oh, okay. Where's she from?
Canada as well. We met in high school.
And she's not out there living with you yet?
Not yet.
I put some pressure on you now, man.
Yeah. She's going to be listening for sure.
So no marriage in the near future. Don't worry, remember, we told you we could cut all this out, man.
Yeah, it's fine. You never know. I mean, I definitely, I love her. So whatever.
There you go.
Yeah.
How special do you think it'd be, you know, internally in the locker room? Obviously, this is one of these questions that everybody knows what the answer is. But how special would it be for you guys to make that playoff and pull off the surprise and play in that Final Four, man?
Man, that
this is a two-part question. I want to know how special it would be for you guys to get. Obviously, this is one step at a time. Playoff first, and then after that, you know, you gotta go from there. But how? Just imagine how special that would be.
I don't think I could even put it into words. I mean, the amount of work that we put in this year, and the Final Four, even just being in Kaunas, like I can't even imagine what the fans would be like, what the atmosphere would be like. So. I would almost say it would be a dream come true.
I saw you talk about, I don't know if it was one of your first games over here, was Maccabi Tel Aviv and the fans at Maccabi.
Yeah.
And how amazing they are. And I always talk about, I did Lorenzo Brown a couple of weeks ago, and I told Lorenzo, there was a couple of games where I went to Maccabi when I was back in my day playing, scored like 40-something in a game, and they cheer for you. You know, it's like they know the game so well. It's one of the nicest places to play in, even though they're on you for 40 minutes, but then they'll cheer for you. But I feel like where you play is exactly the same. I mean, it's just the fans are some of the greatest fans of all over Europe, and they're like basketball IQ fans. They're intelligent fans of the game, you know?
Yeah.
And what's that feel like? And it's got to be awesome, man, because – every damn player that goes in there, no matter whether they leave or they come back or whatever, they seem to embrace them and accept them and like take them in as their own. So it must be a great feeling to play for those people.
It is. The support is definitely there. They love players who play as hard as they can for the team. And then, like you said, they definitely have an IQ for the game, because there'll be fans that I kind of walk by and, you know, we kind of chat a little bit, and then they'd mention something about defense and I'd be like, wait, what? I'd be like, what?
Well, don't tell me that you're not playing good enough defense.
Yeah, kind of. Like, they'd be like, don't miss a backdoor cut. And I was like, huh?
No way.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, it's happened a couple times.
That's hilarious. You've had the opportunity to play for two international teams, Canada and Lithuania now, right?
Yeah.
But the Canadian was obviously like younger, what, U18 or
something like that? U16 and 17.
U16 and 17. What was that experience like?
It was good. It was good. I was definitely grateful to play for Canada and, you know, definitely a different environment than Lithuania for sure in terms of just passion and how big a deal it is to play for the national team.
So as of today, you have dual citizenship, Canadian and Lithuanian.
Yep.
So that's the reason why you're able to play with the Lithuanian team. Now, do you have a choice to who you want to play with?
No. I've made my decision, you know, to play for Lithuania, and I'm sticking by that. And I'm grateful that, you know, they even accepted me to play for Lithuania, and it's truly just an honor.
Come on, man. I, what do you mean you're grateful they accepted you to play? What'd you think? You were going to get cut?
Yeah, no, I mean, not cut. I would hope not cut, but just, you know, playing for the Canadian national team at a young age, you know, I didn't know how, you know, they would feel about that.
Is that Philadelphia, I think, still the last time you've ever got cut?
Yeah, hopefully the last time, too.
Hopefully the last time. Hey, man, you're 24 years old. I've been saying you got a long way to go.
Yeah.
The feeling of playing for the Lithuanian national team, I imagine it has to feel good for you, but I can't imagine it's like you were born in Lithuania, raised in Lithuania, and you made it all the way, like, you know, I don't know, like Ilanovas, for example, yeah. You know, who's been there his whole life and made it to the national team. But what does it feel like for you kind of coming in from the outside but being a part of the inside?
Yeah, it's a big honor for me. You know, we always watch the Lithuanian national team games, you know, as a family whenever we could, and just keeping up with them. And I honestly just wanted to play for Lithuania my whole life. And, you know, it's definitely interesting because, you know, they definitely have, like you said, they grew up over here. They have their own culture and whatnot. So for me, an outsider, to just kind of come in and try to embrace all of it, it was definitely a lot of fun. And they welcomed me with open arms.
That's good. I want to ask you one thing. I don't know how much EuroLeague you watched when you're back in the States and how much you kept up with it. But the last time Žalgiris made it to the playoffs, they faced Olympiacos. And it was kind of one of those things that it was a matchup thing. You know, Žalgiris dominated Olympiacos that year. It was just kind of a matchup thing, even without home court advantage. And then they went to the Final Four. They lost in the semifinal game, but won the third and fourth place game against, if I remember, it was against Ceska. And, man, it was one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen, man, because it was like the only time you really see a team celebrating a third-place victory, you know, when Jasikevičius was there. And you kind of got the feeling of how important it is for the team, for the locker room, for the country. I'm sure you want to get that. I'm sure you don't want third place, obviously, but you got to want that feeling again because it means so much to everybody in that country.
Yeah, no, definitely. It would just be such an honor. And, you know, I remember I didn't watch too many games from that season of Žalgiris making it to the Final Four, but it was definitely talked about a lot. So for them to do that and you know, to kind of show that Žalgiris could, you know, make it and be a team like that, I feel like, you know, to follow their footsteps, and if we can get it done, it'd be something else for sure. It'd be something else.
Well, what's the attitude right now? Obviously, step by step, let's get this next win.
Yeah, just get the next win. Don't think about anything else. We got to get these wins.
No, my little bit of Lithuanian heritage, you know, that I got from great grandparents always makes me cheer for you guys. Yeah. So I'm hoping that I'm hoping that you guys make at least that next step, the playoffs, man.
I appreciate that.
And I love it up there, man. I love going up there, and I can't wait to the Final Four. Hopefully we'll see that. My other question was, and this is the second part of that question about making it. If you don't make it, are you going to go watch the games?
I mean, it was so difficult to get the tickets. It was ridiculous.
Oh, come on, man.
You'd be surprised. I tried contacting a lot of people and you know. Didn't work out for me, so I'll be watching it from TV, I guess.
But no, come on, I'm sure someone in the building could sneak you in and just stand up and watch the game in the back corner.
I'll be somewhere in the locker room and try to, you know, I'll get something done.
But will you want to be there as a player that didn't make it there? That's the main part of that question.
Yeah, I don't know,
man. I couldn't even watch it when I played, man. When I didn't make it, I was like, I can't even watch it.
I don't know. I'll see how I feel. I feel like it would be difficult for sure to kind of. Yeah, maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe I'll avoid
it. But, man, it would be special to have your first year of league season in the Final Four in your home court, wouldn't it?
Crazy.
It's not going to get much better than that.
No, it can't. It can't.
Hey, my man, I appreciate your time, but you know you got one last thing left, and that's the EuroLeague test, eh?
Let's do it.
The crossover test.
I'm going to bring it up right now. You got five questions, all right? We have five questions. Number one's worth 10 points. Number two's worth 20. Number three's worth 30, 4, 40, 5, 50, all right?
Okay.
To our listeners, we want to apologize about some technical difficulties that we had. We lost that first question because of technical difficulties, and we could not get it back. Unfortunately, Iggy did not get that one right. Who was the coach of Žalgiris Kaunas the last time that the team arrived to the Final Four?
Jasikevičius.
There you go. See, look at it. We gave you 20.
There we go.
Here's one that I'm hoping you would know. You guys are one of the best offensive rebounding teams in the league. And I'm not really sure how or why, but you are anyways. I guess it just got to do with that tenacity and that ability to play hard all the time. But Who is the offensive rebounder per game leader as of today in the Turkish Airlines EuroLeague? I'm going to give you a little bit of a hint that it's not on your team.
Yeah, I figured. I have it between two people right now, and one of them plays on Fenerbahce, and one of them plays on Real Madrid. So I'll go with Motley.
No.
Is it Tavares?
Nope.
Neither of
you're
them?
You're over to, yeah, but you, I mean, it's Matias Lessort.
Ah, okay. Okay, see,
3.3 yeah. offensive rebounds a game. That's kind of a trick question because I would have gone Tavares also.
Yeah. Yeah, that was... Okay.
And I did the game last night, and I said Motley actually has more offensive rebounds per game than he does defensive rebounds.
That's crazy.
Yeah, he's averaging three offensive rebounds, 2.8 defensive.
Kind of impressive.
All right, you need to get these two you got to get by Lorenzo Brown, right?
I got 20 right now.
Yeah, you got 20.
Damn.
All right, which team has scored the most points in one game without overtime this season?
Maccabi.
Man.
Did they not just score 120 or something like that?
They scored 111, I think it was, the other day.
And that's not the most this season?
No. Virtus Bologna took 117 to Olympiakos in round 12. 117 to 71.
Man, okay. All right, that's fine. That's fine. I'll get better.
This is your last chance to get better right now.
Let's do it.
And this isn't going to be an easy one, I can tell you. I hate to give you the bad news.
I'm stressed.
Which game matchup, you know, team against team, has been played the most times in EuroLeague history since the year 2000? So which two teams have faced each other the most times since the year 2000? I'll even give you the amount of times that they face each other. It's 47 times.
I want to say Panathinaikos and Olympiakos.
No, you got half of it right, man. Olympiakos versus Efes.
Damn.
Anadolu Efes. See, I'm right there with you, man. I look at these questions beforehand, and I always try to go through it. I would do just as good as you did, but I would have said either like Barca Madrid,
yeah,
Olympia, you know, one of those derbies that they end up playing each other. But then you got to remember they don't always meet each other in the playoffs, you know.
Yeah. So do I have the lowest score of all time?
Don't worry, we still got some more interviews to do.
That's fine. You win some and you lose some.
Hey, just remember one thing. The most important thing that they told you before we started this thing, that at any time, if there's something that you want to take out of this and edit, you can do that.
Let's restart the questions then.
But I don't think they're going to let you do that. Iggy, my man. Hey, it's been just a wonderful conversation with you. We wanted to make this short and sweet today just because we know that you got a big week coming up, big week. Good luck. Good luck in the playoffs. I'm gonna throw a little prognostication out there.
That's nice.
Good luck in the playoffs, and you guys got a good advantage because I was looking last night, three way ties with Baskonia, Maccabi, and you guys, or three way tie with Fenerbahce, you guys, and Baskonia. You guys jump in. And it's either Tel Aviv that comes. Let's say, for example, you guys end up 18-16 on the season.
Yeah.
Baskonia and Maccabi, or Baskonia and Fenerbahce end up 18-16.
We're in.
You guys are in the playoffs. And Fenerbahce or Maccabi Tel Aviv lose that three-way tie. So
okay. That kind of makes me feel good.
Yeah, that's just giving you a little bit extra incentive to go out and get these next couple wins that you don't need.
You need them.
You got three games left, man. If you win two games, you're sitting pretty.
Amazing. Hopefully get all three.
Yeah, well, this is a EuroLeague, but we just talked about that earlier. Yeah.
Clearly, I don't know much about it, so.
be easy on yourself, man. You're doing well. You're 24 years old. You're doing well, man. Hey, I would love to trade sneakers with you right now. My man, appreciate your time. Appreciate everything. Good luck this week. Tell the guys on the team I said good luck also, man.
Will do. Appreciate you, man.
Thank you very much. Appreciate you. Bye.
Peace.
Thanks for listening to The Crossover with Joe R. Lucas. If you like what you've heard, subscribe now so you don't miss an episode, and leave us a review on iTunes and Apple Podcasts. You can also get in touch via Twitter and Instagram at EuroLeague using the hashtag ELCrossover, or on Facebook at the EuroLeague.